Morning, it's really great to be here. As you can tell from my accent, I'm Scottish, and I was in Canada speaking, and somebody shouted out from the crowd, "Are you the guy that does the voice for Shrek?" And I was just about to deal with that when somebody from the other side shouted, "No, he's the guy that looks like Shrek." And I was like, wow, that's too much. But it's really amazing to be here, and I've had a wonderful time. I wonder if you could help me, because I'm really enjoying the fact that there's a great family feeling here. Our family have just had a little bit of a situation. I'm married to Tamsin, and I've got two kids. My son's called Jordan, he's 22, and my daughter's Kezia, she's 19. And Kezia has just gone to Canada for 6 months to do some mission work out in Canada. And we're really excited as a family that she's wanting to follow God's way. But I've had to help my wife, because my wife keeps on crying. And she keeps crying all the time when she thinks about her little daughter on the other side of the world. Now, we got to drop Kezia off at Heathrow Airport. And on the week leading up to this, Tamsin, my wife, is crying all the time. So I had to step in, be the man of the house. I says, Tamsin, come on. When we go to Heathrow, no crying. We've got to look positive. We're excited about our daughter going and doing this adventure. She's like, you're right. We went down to Heathrow, and we got our bags all sorted, and then we had some coffee just before she was going. It was the weirdest coffee in the world, because we were all sitting drinking coffee, but no one was allowed to talk about the fact that Kezia was going away for 6 months. It was kind of weird. We sat there and we did okay, and then I did a big mistake. And if you forget everything else I say today, remember this: never get God involved, yeah? Because what I did was I said, do you know what? Let's pray. So we gathered round. As soon as I started praying in that coffee shop, my daughter started bawling her eyes out. She started crying. And then my wife, oh, my wife is desperately trying not to cry. But you've heard the statement, ugly crying, haven't you? You've heard that. There's something worse than that, and that is ugly trying not to cry, yeah? And I'm like, honestly, Tamsin, just cry. You do us all a favor, yeah? And so we're there, and then I find myself, I'm like starting to weep in this airport, in this cafe. I'm starting to cry. And then I look at my son, 22 years old, nothing, yeah? Nothing. Later on, I said to him, why didn't you cry about your sister? He says, Dad, I'm getting her room. Yeah? Why? Why would I cry? And I thought, well, that's a good point. And so it was great. And off Kezia went, and we waved a goodbye. And then we drove back up to Nottingham. What I didn't know was that Kezia's flight was massively delayed. I then went to the barber's to get my hair cut. And in this barber's, I'm sitting waiting. It's really full because it was a Saturday afternoon. And my phone pings. I look at my phone, and I didn't realize Kezia was still in the country. She says, Dad, that's me. I'm just about to fly. Here are three things I've always wanted to tell you. And these three things were the most beautiful things. In that barber's, I started sobbing, yeah? I'm sobbing, like, not just like little tears dropping to the floor, but proper sobbing, yeah? And when I opened my eyes and looked around, everybody in the barbers is like, oh, these men have not got the emotional equipment to deal with a sobbing Scotsman. They're like looking, going, they're not happy about this man in the barbers crying. But what is amazing is that when the guy finished cutting the guy's hair and turned and says, who's next? All of the guys went, hit him, let him go, yeah? So if you really need to get moving fast, start sobbing, yeah? You get to the front of the queue. But it was like really amazing. And it was like a kind of really interesting time for us while Kezia's been serving God. And it kind of reminded me of a story that is in John chapter 6. And I just want to read a few verses from this incredible miracle that most of you have heard. In John chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says this. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down. There's plenty of grass in that place." And the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. And Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by all those who had eaten. Wow. Amazing miracle. But I was talking to God about these next few minutes that I've got with you. And God just urged me and nudged me to talk to you about something a little bit interesting. We get excited about the miracle of Jesus praying for the bread and the fish and an amazing, powerful miracle. But I want to talk to you today about the miracle that happens before the miracle. You see, in this story, there is a miracle that happens before the miracle. Because you see, that little boy, he had to get over and get past his limiting thoughts to let the miracle happen. That little boy had to get past some of the stuff that could have stopped him from handing over his packed lunch. He could have stopped and never given that over to Jesus because of the things that were going on in his head. You see, I've come here today to say that the first obstacle that you need to get over is yourself. The first obstacle that you need to get over in your life is yourself. Sometimes people from pulpits will talk about the enemy and the devil and overcoming Satan, for sure. But genuinely, the first obstacle that you need to get past for doing great things for God is you need to get over yourself. Because we all have these limiting thoughts. We have these thoughts that stop us from giving what we could give. That little boy could have had limiting thoughts that stopped him from giving the packed lunch. The first limiting thought he could have thought was, "It's only small. It's only a little. Little bit of fish and a little bit of bread in his packed lunch." He could have went, "It's only a little. And I'm going to keep it in my rucksack." But he had to get over himself. I was praying today and I felt like I'm going to be speaking to a lot of people. And God spoke to me and said that maybe there's a business idea in this room. Maybe there's a song or a book that is in this room that has not been written yet. But you're never going to get there until you get over yourself. Till you're able to say, "Do you know what? It is small, but I give over to God and I watch God do an incredible miracle." We don't do the miracle. God does the miracle. Are you able to hand over whatever it is that you've got to God and see him do something powerful and something wonderful? Maybe the second limiting thought that this little boy could have had is there's not enough to make a difference. There's not enough to make a difference. He could have looked at the little bit of fish and bread and he could have saw the thousands of people, and this little kid could have thought, "Oh man, come on. How is that little bit going to change all of this?" But yet, he had to overcome his thought and he had to hand it over to Jesus and see Jesus do a miracle. I was getting excited today about the thought of the people in front of me. I was thinking about you sitting in these rows today. I'm from Edinburgh and I've come over to Northern Ireland and I've seen a little bit of this area. And this wonderful city of Belfast, could the few people that are here right now make a difference in this community? Could they make a difference in this city? It's easy for us to sit and think, there's only a few of us. How can we really make a difference in such a transient, powerful city as Belfast? But God began to excite me and say, you know, that actually in this room, there are people that can make a difference. You can make a difference in your community. If only we could get over our limiting thoughts and give it over to God and watch God do something wondrous and powerful. The third limiting thought that I thought that this little kid might think was, wow, it's nothing special. It's only the bread and fish that my mum put together in the back kitchen. This is not like some kind of master chef meal. This is only like a little bit of bread and fish that mum put together in the back pantry. What can it do? How can this be? You see, I don't know if I'm speaking to your soul right now, but I felt there might be somebody sitting in one of these chairs, and you actually think to yourself, Mark, you don't know where I've come from. You don't know my background. I've not got an incredibly educated background, or I've not got an amazing university degree, or I've not got this wonderful kind of heritage. Mark, if you knew the housing estate that I came from, if you knew the street that I lived on, if you knew where I came from. But you see, this little boy, he had to get over his limiting thoughts. It doesn't matter where the fish and the bread came from. Hand it over to God, and God does a miracle. And I'm speaking to your soul today. And I'm saying to you today, it doesn't matter where your past is. Whatever you think of your past, however meager you think your past is, however limited you think, you know, where you come from is, actually, when we hand it over to God, God does something powerful. We should never, ever limit God. I am, as you heard from John just now, God's done something really unusual with me. I'm a minister's kid. My dad's a pastor, and I was brought up in a ministry house. And I went to Bible college, and I started preaching, and I did sermons, and it was all good. But I wanted to see people connect with God, and I wanted to see people engage with the gospel. But every time I was speaking, it was only Christians that I ever spoke to. And so I went to see a comedian, and I was sitting in this theater watching this comedian, and God spoke to me, and God said, Mark, I want you to do this. I want you to do humor and comedy and bring in the gospel message. I was like, God, I'm a pastor's kid. I'm a minister's child. What? I don't do comedy. What is that? But God says, come on, I'll help you. And so we booked a theater. I did a comedy show. 70 people came to the theater, lots of people that were not yet Christians. And on that very first show, there were some moments that were hilarious. People laughing, people slapping their legs, loving it. There were also moments that were horrendous. You know those moments? Have you ever heard of tumbleweed moments? Yeah? We're like, oh, where the whole room, you know, kind of synchronized, buttock clenched. You know what I mean? Yeah? Well, there was a few of them, and it was like, oh, man. But we got towards the end of the talk, and there were 5 people made a response to God. And I was so excited. But what had happened is, I'd asked this minister to come, and I'd asked him to come and see it because I was venturing this new venture. And he sat near the back, and at the end, he came forward, and he says, Mark, you must never do this again. He goes, what, do you want to be on TV? Is this what this is about? Are you trying to be some kind of live at the Apollo? He goes, go back to churches and stop being silly. And off he went. You ever had one of those moments where you're like, thanks for the feedback? Yeah? It's like, and off he went. I said, oh! When we were driving home, my wife was driving and we were chatting, and she says, Mark, that was amazing today. You engaged the crowd, people became Christians. That was wonderful. And I says, I'm never doing it again. She says, what? I told her about the minister who'd come and given the feedback. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen your wife or your husband or your partner get so mad that the vein in their neck comes out of their body and wanders around the car, but that is what happened. She was so angry. She says, what? She says, you listen to me. You are doing it again. Yeah, it's like, ooh. I looked up to God and God says, I would listen to her, yeah? And he says, God was like, I'm listening to her, so you should listen to her. And he's like, oh, okay. And so we did. We did shows all over the country and we booked theaters and I started doing these comedy shows and we changed some stuff. And then I went to Lincoln and I did it in Lincoln and there were 800 people there and 120 people made a first-time response for God. Wow. And at the end, I didn't even know this at the time, but that minister who was there on the first week, he was actually there. He was at the back and he came down the front and he said to me, oh, Mark, you must keep on doing this. I was thinking, oh, as soon as he stops talking, I'm going to give him it. I'm going to let him have it, yeah? I'm going to tell him, if I'd listened to you, I would have never done it. But no, God says, fingers on lips, yeah? Fingers on lips. And so he finished. And I says, oh, God bless you. Thank you. And off he went. And now I talk about him all over the world, yeah? And the truth is this, though. The truth is that we can allow limiting thoughts to stop us. I had that limiting thought that said, listen, I'm just like a pastor's kid. I can't do this. But God has given me the opportunity to now do comedy festivals and to do places, Melbourne Comedy Festival, Edinburgh Fringe, where we're taking light into the darkness and we're allowing the gospel to go to places that people would least expect it. And I'm speaking to your soul today and I'm saying, wow, maybe there are things inside of you that God would have you do, that you mustn't put limiting thoughts, but you must actually decide today that, oh, I am going to go for it. I am going to live for God. I'm going to be everything that I was created to be. You see, I've not got too much longer to go. I wanted to say this to you, is that I find this fascinating that the disciples did not even understand that salvation was right there. Salvation is here. You see, they're all talking amongst themselves. What are we going to do? It's like hilarious. Philip is saying, where are we going to get the bread? What? Philip's talking to Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. God made bread and fish. And there's Philip saying, what are we going to do? Tesco's is shut. We don't know what to do. And it's like, wow, can't you understand that salvation is right here, Philip? Here he is. This is Jesus, the Son of God. And you know, I wanted to say that in this place right now, salvation is here. Salvation is here. I was in Australia earlier this year, and a little 9-year-old girl got herself in trouble. The eddies, the sea, the water, the undercurrent is so powerful in Australia's seas. And this little 9-year-old girl got herself into such trouble. And the lifeguard came and he threw that plastic flotation, the buoy, he threw it out to her because the lifeguards couldn't get to her because of the waves and the undercurrents. And he threw the buoy to her. But because she was 9, she didn't understand what it was. And she's going under the water and she's drowning. And it's right there. All she needs to do is grab hold of this buoy, but she doesn't understand. And they're shouting, but it's so noisy with the waves. She doesn't understand. Salvation is right there. If only you grab it, it's right there. Wow. Eventually, she gets the message, and she grabs hold of the boy, and they're able to pull her in and they rescue her. Salvation is here. You know, in this place right now, salvation is here. We look at the cross, we see the message of the cross, and we're like, wow. You see, God saw that you were drifting away from him, and through Jesus and through the cross, he has given salvation, and it is right here. If only you would grab hold of it, you would know the rescue of God. And so I'm coming towards the end. And what I love about this story is that there are basketfuls left over. This is truly a miracle. There were teenagers at that event, and there were leftovers. That is a miracle. But you know this is so true, is that we can decide, we can choose, friend, today, whether we live a life where we cling on to our blessings and live a life of scarcity, or we can give away and live a life of overflow. I love that Jesus did a miracle that was a miracle of overflow. Of overflow. Wow. Not just enough. Not just scraping by so that the last few just about get enough. But Jesus did a miracle where there was baskets of overflow. We can live a life of scarcity, or we can live a life of blessing. That you would give away. Could you give something away this week? Could you live a life of overflow? My wife and me have started to, in restaurants, we start to pay for other people's meals. It's fantastic. They look over, they're confused. They don't know what's happening. It's amazing. And I'm not doing it as an evangelistic opportunity. I'm not miming the cross or trying to give out a tract. I'm just wanting to bless. Could you bless this week? How could you live a life of overflow this week? I wonder if we could just bow our heads in the presence of God. I really felt that there may be one or two people in this room, and you have drifted away from God. You have allowed some distance to come between you and God. And here we are in this place. Salvation is here. I simply want to pray a little prayer. And I'm going to ask that you would pray in your heart after me. Don't say it out loud. Just pray it in your heart. And God will hear that. And as you are praying that prayer, you're coming through the cross and you're known rescue. Salvation is here. Why don't you just pray this prayer right now? This is the prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross for me, that salvation is here. I'm sorry for drifting away, and I come through the cross and know your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. As every head stays bowed and every eye's closed, I'm just going to say before I finish that we want to give people the opportunity that maybe you prayed that prayer today. We'd love to give you a pack. So all I'm going to do is I'm simply going to count to three. And on three, I'm going to ask that you put your hand up. And we would put the pack into your hand and stick it under your chair. And you can know today what it is to know that salvation is here. As every head's bowed, if you prayed that prayer, then on three, I just ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. That's wonderful. That's really great. The team are just coming and handing them out. Is there anyone else that would just join with these others that have raised their hand? Why don't you slip up your hand right now before we finish this service? Thank you, Lord, for people responding to you. We ask that we would live a life not of scarcity, but a life of overflow. In Jesus' name, amen.